Today, First Take Mortgage Stress, July 2022. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, we've just completed our analysis for July based on the research that we do. And for those who are not familiar, we take information from our household surveys that are run weekly and add in a lot of other economic data and other third-party information from publicly available sources. And we run our model to get a sense of what's going on in the property market. And that information is now available. And I'm going today just to walk through some of the high-level findings. In later shows, we'll go into some more detail. And it's just worth noting we slice and dice the data multiple ways, including by location and type of household. And we also run some scenarios, which allows us then to consider what may be happening ahead with regard to property prices. By looking at things like mortgage stress, the price history trajectory, the buying and selling intentions, migration data, and the broader economic information, we can put that into the core market model and we can come up with a view down to a postcode level. And as I've said before, I'll say it again, we do offer a one-to-one service if you want to have a conversation about a particular suburb or postcode. It's an individual confidential conversation and we can look at the underlying trends, although of course it's not financial advice. We can look at the stress, home price trend data, and also look at the forward trends and assessments based on my modelling. You can book a time, about an hour or so by Zoom or phone, is how long it takes. And there's a fee involved simply because it costs time and effort to do the research. If you're interested, you can contact me by the DFA blog. Spaces are limited, we're booking 3 to 5 weeks ahead at the moment. Now let's look at mortgage stress for July 2022. And just as we go into this, I should define, of course, again, that we are looking at stress in terms of cash flow. This is money in, money out. This isn't a set percentage of income going to repay the mortgage or indeed the rent. This is looking at how much money is coming into each household each month, how much is going out, and that includes all the sorts of non-discretionary payments plus either the mortgage or the rental payment. And the definition is that if households have more money going out than coming in, whilst they can put it temporarily on credit cards or raid deposits, they ultimately will get into difficulty. So if they're underwater, we classify them as stressed. So with that introduction, we'll start by looking at the latest stress data. Well, the results came in at more than 45.2% of households in mortgage stress in July. That's up again from last month. And you can see how it's climbed considerably from 32.9% of households in February 2020, that was before COVID hit, and it's been rising ever since, and there's been a sharp acceleration. That sharp acceleration is driven by, firstly, higher interest rates and also the higher cost of living, while incomes in real terms are going backwards. Rental stress also shot up again this month. It's now 50.48% of households. That's more than half of those in the rental sector are struggling to make their payments and to maintain their other expenditure profiles. That is troubling indeed. And we should also note that the household debt to income ratio from the RBA is still accelerating as 187.2. So income's not growing as fast as debt. The debt is still growing and that's an ongoing problem. Now, if we then look at the top line results, this is the state-based view, and you can see in yellow those states where stress has increased compared to last month. In fact, mortgage stress went down slightly in the ACT, but it went up to 44.6% in New South Wales, 44.2% in the Northern Territory, 40.5% in Queensland. It eased back slightly in South Australia, down 45.26. And also in Tasmania, it fell slightly to 53.06. But it rose in Victoria up to 48.47% of households. And in Western Australia, it eased down slightly. In the sum total, 45.09% of households. And if you look at it in terms of the number in mortgage stress, well, maybe not surprisingly, but Victoria and New South Wales have the largest count. And in fact, Victoria, at 486,000 households, have slightly more than New South Wales. Queensland has 292,000 households. Western Australia has 215,000. And the total in mortgage stress is 1.7 million households. That's the most I've ever seen. If we look at rental stress rose in pretty much all states other than in the Northern Territories when it eased back just slightly. And the result of that, rental stress is now at over 2.4 million households. We can also then look at investors, property investors. We define property investor stress in terms of a property that's not let at the moment, a property investment that's let but is losing money because of cash flow, or because the investor is trying to sell. And here we see that investor stress has been rising in the Northern Territory, in Queensland, in South Australia, in Tasmania. It did ease back slightly in the ACT, New South Wales, Victoria and Western Australia. There, the main reason was that rents are being increased, and in fact, the rate of rental increase is bigger than the rate of cost relating to increasing interest rates at the moment. So some investors are lifting rents higher than is needed just to cover the costs of the mortgage. And that explains, of course, the increased rental stress that we discussed previously. And then finally, we have an aggregate measure, which is financial stress, which is an adjusted amalgam of mortgage stress, rental stress, and investor stress compared to all households. And there we still find that the state with the highest financial stress levels are in the ACT, followed by New South Wales at 52%, Victoria at 46%, and Tasmania at 48%, Queensland at 44%, Western Australia at 40%, and the Northern Territory at 30%. Overall, 46.49% of households have some sort of financial stress problem, and that translates to more than 4.9 million households, which is a worryingly large number. Now, just because people are in stress, it doesn't mean that they're going to fall over tomorrow, but what it does mean is they're going to find it more difficult to manage their finances. They're going to cut back on spending. They're going to put more on buy now, pay later. They're going to use credit cards, or they're going to pull from deposits, or indeed perhaps sell some properties if they've got multiple properties. So this is a sign of continued pressure on households across Australia. And of course, this is going to increase as rates rise and as inflation keeps going strong. Now, we can quickly look at the segment model, and this is looking at the different types of households on a national basis. And it's worth noting once again that the young growing families, the first-time buyers, are the ones that are most stressed from a mortgage perspective, that we see a lot of people in the battling urban and disadvantaged fringe areas, so those on the outskirts of town, they're significantly impacted. And also, 40.51% of multicultural establishment households, first-generation Australians, are also in difficulty. If we look at rental stress, we find that, in fact, the one segment with the highest amount is those same multicultural establishment households, followed closely by older, more mature, stable families, and then young, affluent households. And then we sort of slip down into those battling urban households again. And the exclusive professionals there too, more than half of exclusive professionals, that's the most affluent segment, have also issues to do with rental stress. If we then look at investor stress, we find that the highest amount of investor stress is sitting with exclusive professionals and with young affluents. Not surprising, because they have more investment properties, often highly leveraged, often cross-leveraged, and now property values are easing back. That's putting further pressure. And of course, the reason this isn't significant is because it then puts an imperative on them to try and lift rentals, which puts pressure then on the rental sector. And from an average financial stress perspective, the young growing family at 70% has the highest amount of financial stress. So these are including a lot of first-time buyers. We also find that households in the multicultural establishment, the first-generation Australians, are 58%, young affluents are 55%, and also on the battling urban and disadvantaged fringes of our major cities, as well as some of the more exclusive households. So wherever you look, the takeaway here is that mortgage stress is alive and well. It takes no prisoners. Now, the next thing we're going to look at is the individual postcodes where the mortgage stress counts are the highest. Now, I use mortgage stress counts because that gives us a better feel for where the real pain points are. And the postcode with the highest amount of mortgage stress is postcode 6065 in Western Australia. That includes places like Wanneroo, Warringah, Tapping, and a few others there. And overall, we've got more than 10,900 households in mortgage stress at 68% of households. Then we go to a Victorian postcode, Narrawarren, and Narrawarren South, postcode 3805, with 10,300 households in mortgage stress. And then we go to Queensland, to Toowoomba, and areas around there, 4350, with 10,040 households in mortgage stress, 62%. Then we go to Victorian postcode 3806, which includes Harkaway and Berwick, and that's just over 10,000 households. And then we drop into the 9,000 household range with another Victorian postcode, 3064, Roxburgh Park, Craigieburn, Donnybrook, Mickleham, 9,348 households, or 58%. Then we go to regional centre Ballarat, 3350, and there we find 8,278 households are in mortgage stress, or 82.71%. Then we go to Victorian postcode 3037, Delahaye, Hillside and Sydenham, and there 76% of households are in mortgage stress. Another Victorian postcode, Pakenham and Pakenham Upper, 3810, with 7,568 households, or 74.77%. And then Cranbourne, postcode 3977, which includes Cannon Creek, Cranbourne, and areas around there, with 7,400, or 32.9%. That's a very large postcode with a lot of households, of course. Then we go to Western Australian postcode 6030, which includes Clarkston, Merriwa, Queens Rock, Ridgeway, Tamala Park, 80.39%. Then we go to New South Wales postcode Mount Annan, and also Harrington Park and Narrowland Vale. There, 7,265 households, or 81.25%. That's postcode 2567. Then we go to South Australian postcode 5108, including Salisbury, Salisbury Down, and Salisbury North, with 6,870 households, or 87%. And we go to Stanhope Gardens, postcode 2768 in New South Wales, including Parkley and Glenwood, with 95.56% of households, 6,529, and postcode 2770, which includes places like Mount Druitt and Lethbridge Park, with 6,527. And the observation, once again, is many of these are in high-growth corridors, lots of new developments, a lot of properties on very small lots with big mortgages bought recently with a lot of first-time buyers. There's a lot of pain in some of those outer suburban areas now. Now we can look at rental stress and just go through the same story. The most stressed postcode from a rental perspective is Toowoomba, postcode 4350, this month with 13,073 households in rental stress at 56.99%. Then we go to postcode 2540, which includes places like Sussex Index and Swanhaven, Jervis Bay. And there we have 11,300 households in rental stress, or 86.04%. Then we go to Queensland postcode 4670, which includes areas around Bundaberg. And there we have 11,055 households in rental stress, which is 67% of households. And then we go to New South Wales postcode 2170, Chipping Norton, Liverpool, Liverpool South, Moorbank, Mount Pritchard, etc., and Warwick Farm, with 10,840. And I'll just make the point here that Warwick Farm tends also to show on our mortgage stress list, but it has slid down the list there just off the top 10 or 12 because others have actually had more significant growth recently. Now, in terms of rental stress, we then go to New South Wales postcode 2560, which includes Campbelltown and Rose Meadow and Roos, more than 10,388, or 85% of households. And then we go to Surfers Paradise and Main Beach, 4217 up in Queensland, with 67.59%, or 10,319 households. Then we come back to New South Wales, to places like Wentworthville and South Wentworthville, Westmead, postcode 2145, and that's with more than 77.27%. Then we go to Bidwell, 2770, including Mount Druitt, Lethbridge Park, Emerton and Wilmot. And there we have 10,043 households in rental stress, or 83.77%. Now we go up to Queensland again, up towards Southport and Labrador, postcode 4215, with 10,031, or 60.34%. Then we go to the Central Coast around West Gosford, postcode 2250, and that has 9,772 households in rental stress, or 82.44%. And we go to Basin's Pocket in Queensland at 4305, and that includes North Ipswich and areas around the rest of Ipswich, 9,324 households, or 71.88% in stress. Now, what I then want to do is just quickly show you a few maps. I'll show you some others later. But these maps just show you a heat mapping of mortgage stress. And it brings home, I think, quite nicely the geographic concentration that we're seeing. So here's the one for Melbourne. And you can see that in the case of Melbourne, we have a lot of stress to the east of Melbourne, beyond Greater Dandenong, a lot of high growth areas there, to the north as well, and also to the northwest, including places in Wyndham. And if you look out further, you can see there Ballarat showing up quite firmly as well. So if we then go to Sydney and look at the situation there, again, Western Sydney is where a lot of the pain points are, from Campbelltown up through to Liverpool and Fairfield, places like that, up toward Blacktown, and further up and out towards Parramatta as well, of course. And closer into the city, there are a few, but not so many. So this is definitely a city in two parts. Now this is Brisbane, and again, it's interesting to see that we see hot spots over towards the west, sort of Ipswich and around there, to the north, and also some hot spots down towards the Gold Coast. Now, the overall counts here are a bit lower because the population density is lower, but nevertheless, there are some quite significant dynamics going on in different places. Closer into the city, not quite such an issue, but particularly in this area to the south now, we're seeing significant rises in mortgage stress, and also to the north as well. And here is Adelaide, which shows once again the same story of mortgage stress to the north of the city and to the south of the city, less so closer in. And also Mount Barker shows up quite strongly with significant stress there. But again, of course, the population density is lower in absolute terms relative to some other pokers we've been looking at. And that explains why the colour coding is less aggressively red. So this is a story in Perth and the surrounding areas. And once again, we find close into Perth, not too much stress. But if you go north, up towards Wanneroom, places like that, or south, down towards Rockingham, you can see considerable concentrations of mortgage stress. And once again, it's interesting to note that some of the high density areas where there's been a lot of new development is where there's a lot of mortgage stress as well. So in the Hobart area, we don't have the same population density, but there are nevertheless some pockets of stress in some of the areas around and to the north of Hobart. And while I won't show it in this map, we also have some up in the northern part of Tasmania too. Now, if we go to Darwin, the mortgage stress densities are so much lower because the population density is so low, but nevertheless, there are a few hotter spots. And finally, we'll just cover Canberra quickly to show that even in and around the ACT, there are also some hot spots there. Again, population density is lower, but particularly to the north and the south of the centre, we do see some issues, and also some further out too, in more rural areas too. So mortgage stress reaches parts that you might not expect. Now, I'm not going to go through rental stress or some of the other mapping at the moment. I'll make a separate show about that. But I guess I just want to make my normal three points. The first is, it's clear to me that households are under pressure. And if you've got a mortgage, it's really important to make sure that you've got the very best rate that you can get at the moment. A lot of refinances going along at the moment as people shop around for the cheapest mortgage. It's worth doing. You can still probably save quite a lot of money by doing that. The second is you need a household budget so that you can see where you are and prioritize your spending. And I would suggest it's very important to prioritize now to build buffers because rates are going to rise even more ahead. And the third point is if you're into difficulty, particularly with the mortgage, talk to your lender early. They do have an obligation to help with the issue of hardship, although sometimes they may suggest restructuring the mortgage and extending it. That isn't necessarily a good idea because it ends up with you paying a lot more in terms of mortgage interest over the life of the loan, but it might get you through a hole for a few weeks and months. But the bottom line is this. Given what we know now from this last week from the Treasurer, that inflation is going to go higher, that real wages growth isn't going to happen for at least 2 or 3 years, and we have to expect interest rates to rise, the chances are more households are going to be struggling ahead. And so those with buffers, well done. Keep those buffers and make sure that you use them effectively. I'm quite skeptical, however many of those households have buffers, because what I see is that those with a lot of stress have no buffers. Those with no stress have big buffers. So it's very much a matter of where it's distributed. But if you are somebody who is in financial pressure at the moment, it's very important to get your arms around it and start managing it rather than just ignoring it and hoping to go away. In the current environment, this is not going to change anytime soon. And if anything, it's going to get worse. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.